Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
James 3, verse 9 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." Think of the last person you spoke negatively about. Is it possible that in doing that, you are actually slandering God?
Now think about how this chapter is laid out. The first 12 verses of this chapter given this lengthy explanation of how bad the problem is. The world of our talk is a world of trouble. And we're mostly numb to it. James has to try to wake us up to it, because we're mostly numb to the sins of our speech, because we just talk all day, every day. We're constantly talking. Whenever we talk, we stumble in many ways. And so we're continually sinning with our mouths to the point where we just get numb to it. We're used to it. But if we just stop for a minute and think, we realize James is right. Think of how much you sin with your mouth. I mean, was there anybody here who would be perfectly comfortable if we just played the audio of your word, the worst of your words over just, say, the past month? Just played it right here in front of everybody? Is there anyone here that would, you hear that and you think, oh yeah, sure, go for it. That'd be awesome. That'd be great for my reputation. People would just be amazed at all the gracious words that just tumble out of my mouth on a constant basis. If you're upset with someone because of their gossip, or their dishonesty, or their slander, or their unloving speech, or whatever sins of the mouth came out of their mouth, you're upset with someone. If we played back the audio from your mouth, just in the past month, would you be comfortable with that? Anybody? Nobody? Every single person in this room has blown it that bad just in the last month? You know, a month's not a very long time, is it? Truth is, as hard as I work at having godly, gracious, edifying speech, so many times I become an offense even to my best and most patient friends. We've got a serious problem. Our speech is next to impossible control to control, which is bad, because when it's out of control, we found out last week, is bent towards evil. It's lit on fire, James says, with the very fire of hell, and it destroys like a forest fire. You know what a firewall is in a building? It's a wall that it can't burn. So when the fire is going through the building and it hits that wall, it stops. It can't progress any farther past that wall. It stops right there. If you could have a church with 100 people who are firewalls, say a church of 500 and 100 of them are firewalls, gossip would never make it anywhere. The forest fire wouldn't be able to... There's no way gossip could flourish. And yet, does gossip flourish in churches? I mean, if we were firewalls, if we... Every time somebody comes to us with some gossip, he's like, that's gossip. I don't have ears for that. I'm not going to listen. It couldn't get anywhere, but it does get somewhere. Why? Because we're not firewalls. What do we do instead? Ooh. He did something wrong? Do tell. Let me hear. Did you have the same experience I had with that person? Because here's what I saw him do. And let me tell you what. And boy, a failure? Oh, wow. Let's talk about that. And why don't we just pour some gasoline on that fire? Our tongues are like fire, and they're like snakes, James says. A tongue that injures people is like a rattlesnake with ADHD. It's unstable, and it bites, and so much of the damage that's done from that can never be undone. You know, in just a little brief 20, 30 second conversation you have, you can be a link in a gossip chain. And after that 30 seconds, you stop, and he's like, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But by the end of that chain, that rumor has morphed into some terrible falsehood about that person. And in some cases, that person has to go the rest of his life every time somebody looks at him with a little bit of a questioning look, thinking, I wonder if they heard the rumor. And I wonder if they believe it. And now that's how he has to live the rest of his life. We damage each other in such devastating words, ways with our words. And then, with that same disgusting, defiled tongue, we turn around and praise God.
Amen.
We sing praises to Him. James 3:9, look at verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. If you talk about someone, talk about them the way that James talked about Abraham and Rahab. Honor them. Why? Because they're people who bear the image of God. They bear the image of our Lord and Father. And that, this is the only place in the whole Bible where that phrase is used, Lord and Father. Why does James select that unique combination of titles that's never used anywhere else here? Well, I think it's because Lord points to God's awesome sovereignty and authority. And Father points to the family connection we have with God. He's our dad. So James wants to highlight those two important ideas when it comes to our speech. He's Lord, which means he has absolute total authority and must be obeyed. And he's our dad, which means guess what we are to each other? Siblings. Sisters and brothers. How can I bless God as my father while forgetting that you're my brother and sister? And you're one of his children in the same family. How can I bless him as Lord while ignoring what he's commanded about the tongue? James was acutely aware of the family relationship we have with each other. He's just always thinking that. You can tell that because just in this tiny little book, he calls us brother 15 times. Oh, my dear brothers this, dear brothers, dear brothers. James is a warm-hearted man, and he just couldn't stand seeing brothers and sisters fighting in the church. He brings it up again and again, sometimes just out of the blue, like in chapter 5. Chapter 5, he's talking about some other topic, be patient, you're suffering, all this, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, in the midst of a passage on suffering, verse 9, and don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. The judges stand at the door. Think of the last time you grumbled against someone in the church. Did you have any conscious awareness? I'm going to be judged for this. Judge is standing at the door. This is big on the list of scandalous sins. Some verses in the Bible are just so easy for us to forget. But James won't let us forget. He keeps bringing it up and bringing it up. James is, I think, like Moses, who, remember when Moses saw the two Israelites fighting each other? And he said in Acts 7:26, he tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you're brothers! Why do you want to hurt each other? Imagine you're playing a football game and your best blocker keeps on spending all his time blocking his teammates. James is like the coach that comes out on the field and says, why are you knocking them down? They're on the same team! So, we're siblings, and then beyond that, we bear the image of God. And that's the main emphasis James makes here. The principle of bearing God's image, that applies to every human being, right? All human beings are created in the image of God. And so all are due some degree of honor for that. But the image of God in people is distorted because of sin, isn't it? Right? You look at each other, we're not exactly like God. Looking at a person is like looking at God's reflection in a mirror that's been shattered. The reflection is still there, but it's all distorted. When a person becomes a Christian, what happens is God starts to repair the cracks in that broken mirror. And he conforms that person more and more to the image. He's already in the image of God, but more and more to the likeness and the image of Christ's character. So in Romans 8:29, it says, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. This is God's whole agenda with you, to conform you more and more to his image. And in Colossians 3:10, we have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Your new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That's happening right now. So All people are in the image of God, but believers, people in the church, Christians, are especially reflective of God's character in a much greater way. And so cursing any human being is an egregious sin against the image of God, but cursing a Christian? That's especially serious. Luke 10:16, "He who rejects you rejects me," Jesus said. You reject one of Jesus' people, you reject Jesus. Proverbs 17:5, "He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker." That's true of the poor, that's true of anybody that God made, right? You mock them, you mock his maker. When you slander God's image, you slander God. And you cannot bless God and slander God at the same time. Well, what's the solution to this disastrous problem we have in our mouths? James is going to teach us that next week, and so I hope you'll be able to come back. Because this is so important. This is one of those things where all I can do is preach half the sermon. What if you're discouraged? You're like, wow, I'm going to be condemned if I have, you know, a slip in my speech, and I'm going to be condemned for that? I mean, where's the... Again, we'll have to cover that next week. But for now, why don't we just wrap up our time by turning our eyes to the one man who never slipped in his speech, never sinned with his mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21, "Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead," and here's the key, "instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." See, Jesus controlled his tongue. How did he control his tongue when he was suffering so much? When people were doing such horrible, evil things to him, how did he manage? He did it by entrusting himself, his reputation, his well-being, to a judge who judges justly, who could be trusted to deal with it. Let's follow in his steps. When someone hurts you, you say, "I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to say anything about it," because there's a judge who will take care of it. And that's so hard to do because God has this habit of not conforming himself to my timeline. Right? And waiting just isn't my specialty. I want it dealt with now. But the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to wait, and that turned out pretty well for him, didn't it? So let's just strive to do four things. Let me give you four things that we can strive to do this week while we wait for the second half of this message next time. Number one, let's wake up to the urgency of putting a bridle on our tongues. Let's just realize this is urgent. Let's make sure we don't forget about the poison in there and the fire and the massive potential to damage other people and damage our own hearts and contaminate our own hearts. So let's wake up to the urgency, number one. Number two, let's just be more alert to the image of God around us. Let's appreciate that when we see it. It's a marvelous thing. And let's be especially alert to the image of God in those people who are hurting us. That's where we have a tough time seeing it, right? Let's make sure the way that we treat those people and talk about those people shows proper respect and honor and dignity for somebody bearing the image of our Lord and Father. Number three, let's not forget that our fellow believers, even the ones that hurt us, are our siblings. We can't just write them off. We've got the same Lord and Father. We're in the same family. We're brothers and sisters. We've got to figure this out. And then number four, let's follow Jesus' example. And when we're hurt, let's just entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. Father, we thank you that the way that you sanctify us is not by just removing our tongues. You let us keep talking. And you let us go from doing massive damage to doing massive good. And we praise you for that. Teach us, Lord, to take that responsibility as seriously as you've indicated in this passage we need to take it. And conform our speech, Lord, to be glorifying to you.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse.
You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.